still not on. Now we are. I'm glad God's still calling men and women into the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He was exactly right. I want you to take your Bible and turn to Mark chapter number 12. I'm not going to preach long this morning, but I am going to preach. I could not think of one missionary to the country of Paraguay. This morning when he introduced himself, I cannot even remember the last time I heard the country of Paraguay even mentioned. So I guarantee you there's a great need. So I appreciate that burden. Amen. Mark chapter number 12. We're going to look at probably four verses of Scripture this morning. I was working on my lawnmower yesterday, and I dropped a socket down in behind the motor. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I was getting my hand, and I was pushing it down like that, and I was scratching the back of my hand. And I was pushing. I could see it, Brother William. It was right there, and my fingers were literally a fraction of an inch away from that socket. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I was getting mad, so I tried another angle, and I went in up under this way, and there again. Every direction I tried, I was getting that close to that stupid half-inch socket and just couldn't touch it. I could see it. I knew where it was, but all I could do was get close. After 15, 20 minutes of fooling with that thing and doing everything with my power, it hit me. You need some help. I went in the garage and got me a piece of wire, electric fence wire. And I reached right down in there and stuck it in the hole of that socket and flipped it right out of that thing. After all that trying, after all that aggravation, scratching my hands and getting mad and fussing and coming nigh cussing, all it took was a little help. Have you ever been so close to something in your life that you could see it, you knew where it was, but you just couldn't get to it? That happens a lot of times in life. It's just out of our grasp. We just need a little help. I thought about four people in the Bible. Jesus makes a statement, and he says some things that are mighty intriguing sometimes. We're going to read about this guy in Mark chapter number 12. Jesus said, "You're close. You're close." So many people come so close to the kingdom of God, but never get in. People will sit in church, and I believe some did last Sunday and the Sunday before, and we'll get down to the invitation, and we'll ask, if you know you're saved, raise your hand. And most of the people will raise their hand, and then we'll say, if you're not sure you're saved, would you raise your hand? We'd like to pray for you. And just about every Sunday, somebody will raise their hand and say, I'm not sure I'm saved. I need to get this thing settled in my heart. And then they'll walk out the door. They got so close, but didn't get in. I don't know if Brother John's here this morning. He came last Sunday and his little old girl got saved. Is it Joseph? Where's he at? In the balcony, way up yonder. Man, you need to get down here close to the fire, bro. Joseph got under conviction last Sunday morning, came down to this altar, and instead of just getting close, instead of just knowing who Jesus is and knowing about Jesus and what he did, hey, he just decided to step on in and got gloriously born again. I want us to look at these scriptures this morning. I'm in a hurry. I got to go to a funeral, and you got to go to the buffet, so we'll do this as fast as we can. Amen. In Mark chapter number 12, look with me at verse number 28. The Bible said, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him. Now, let me stop right here. You got to understand, in the Bible, when these scribes and Pharisees are questioning Jesus, they're not really looking for an answer. Are you okay? They're not really looking for an answer. They're trying to twist him up somehow. They're trying to trip Jesus. And by the way, you ain't going to trip Jesus up. You ain't going to backpedal God. He's going to have it right every single time. Now this guy, we're going to notice, he seems to be a concerned man. I get a lot of those. People who want to give a little lip service, act a little spiritual. Well, let me go on. Jesus answered him in verse number 29, said, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribes said unto him," watch this, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Watch verse 34. "And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not," say it with me, "far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question." You know what Jesus said? Close. Close. You ever play hide and go seek? Is it warm? No, you're getting colder. Warm, warmer, warmer. Hot, 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 hot. Jesus said, hot, hot, hot. You're there. You're right there. You say, you mean he was that close to heaven? No, he wasn't that close to the place of heaven. He was that close to the person of heaven. He wasn't that close to the glory world and the river of life and the gates of pearl and the streets of gold. But he was that close to the one who could take him there. What Jesus was saying was, hey, listen, he agreed with him. He agreed with him. Did you know, especially in the South, 90% of the people you talk to would agree with you that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you understand that? We're on the buckle of the Bible Belt around here. Everybody you talk to grew up in church. Half the people you hear singing in country music grew up in church. They all got a church background. You know what most of them are? Now, I'm not being judgmental. I guess maybe I am a little. Close. Close. Oh, they'll stand up flat-footed and tell you who God is. They'll stand up and flat-footed and tell you it ain't the Mormon way and it ain't the JW way and it ain't the Muhammad Islam way. They'll tell you Jesus Christ is the way. But that's all they've got is a little knowledge up here in their head. This guy agreed with Jesus. You can be in agreement with Jesus, but not have a relationship with Jesus. Amen. Just like our missionary brother said, hey, we got to believe what this book and who this book says we are, and we got to believe who this book says he is. Amen. Now you see, here's the scribe. Scribes were very important people in Bible days. You know what they did? They recorded scripture. Very important people. Very religious people. But here's the problem this guy had. He agreed with his teaching, but he did not agree with who he said he was. You may be sitting here in agreement, but until you enter a relationship with who he is, all you are is close. I would hate to be in a service, Brother William, like we're in this morning, with singing like we've heard and the Spirit of God like we've felt in this place this morning and leave on my way to hell. I'd hate to know I got that close to that socket and just couldn't get it. I'd hate to know I got that close to heaven and walked out without. I'm going to heaven when I die. You know why? Because one day I got close. And something about that closeness drew me closer. Yeah. Woo! And on my knees, I Went in. Some of you have walked up to that veil that Levi preached about. That's as far as you've got. You're going to have to step in. You're going to have to come on in. Amen. Somebody said, come on in, boys. The water's fine. You're in agreement with everything I say. You just hadn't done nothing with it. Last Sunday, you stood here and raised your hand and said, no, I'm not saved. If I die right now, I'll go to hell. You got that figured out. What are you going to do? Look at Mark chapter number 10. I'm going to try to hurry through these. Look at Mark chapter number 10. Jesus said, man, you're very near. You're very near. You're close. You're almost there. Come on. Come on, tell me who I am. Oh, you're just a good man. Oh, no, no, no. You're close. You got some doctrine right, but you're missing the main thing. Look at Mark chapter number 10 and verse number 17. Mark chapter 10 and verse number 17. The Bible said, when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Now, I would say this guy, we're going to finish reading the story. That first man was a concerned man. This guy is a challenged man. Jesus presents to him. Would you say he's interested? He came running and kneeled at Jesus' feet. How much closer can you get? How much closer? He's already on his knees. Now watch this. Verse number 18. Now he's just asked the question, what must I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus answered, or Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And here's what the guy said. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Pay attention to me. This guy's got it going on. Spiritually, or let's say morally, he's better than many of you. He's kept the Ten Commandments from his youth. He's a good boy. Would you agree? I've often said if we had no more Bible than the Ten Commandments, if we could just live by those Ten Commandments, we'd be doing pretty good. He's done this from a child. And now here he is literally bowing at the feet of the Lord. How can you come that close and miss it? He is literally as close to the Lord as I was to that socket in the bottom of that lawnmower motor. Watch what happens. Then Jesus, beholding him, watch the next two words, please. Then Jesus, beholding him, say it with me, loved him. Was he still a sinner? Oh, but the whacked out preacher said God don't love sinners. He loved him. Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, watch this, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. Look at verse number 22. And the Bible said he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He came to Jesus. He's lived right all his life. He's lived by the law, under the commandments of God. He's done right. He's come to the Lord. I believe he's sincere too. Lord, what must I do to inherit the kingdom? Jesus said, I tell you what. Are you willing to forsake everything you got? Bible said he had a whole lot of stuff. He had great possessions. He was wealthy. He had money. He had means. You say, to get to heaven, I got to sell everything I got. No, that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, would you give it up for me? Is your soul and your eternity, where you'll spend eternity, is it more important than your stuff? Man, let me tell you something. The night I got saved, I didn't give a rip what nobody thought. I didn't care what nobody said. I wasn't embarrassed. I wasn't shy. I knew I did not want to go to hell, and I was going to get to God at any cost. I didn't walk forward in a church service. I walked out of a New Year's Eve party, went and beat on the preacher's door in the middle of the night. Hey, man, I meant business with God. Here's what Jesus is saying to this challenged man. How serious are you? You ain't going to get saved till you 100%. As long as you got reservation, are we okay this morning? As long as there's reservation in your heart, hell's your home. I hate to put it that blunt, but it's true. There's no gray area here. It's black or white. You're saved or you're lost. You're on your way to heaven or you're on your way to hell. How close are you this morning? Can you see the socket at the bottom of the lawnmower motor? Can you see? This guy is kneeling at his feet. You know how many times I went to an altar? I was raised in church, Brother Jason. I was like this boy. I knew the truth. I knew the truth. I could lead somebody to Christ. Yeah. You say, how can a lost person lead somebody to Christ? It ain't the person, it's the scripture. Amen. I knew the Romans Road front and backwards. I went to a Christian school. We had to memorize more scripture than you could shake a stick at. Yeah. That was part of our school, wasn't it, Brother William? I knew the Bible. But I didn't know the author of the Bible. I could tell you how to go to heaven, but I wasn't going. You said, how is that possible? How is it possible this guy is kneeling at the feet of the Savior and walks away without him? It kills me to see it happen in this place week after week after week after week. Preach your guts out in people this close. Brother Freddie, sometimes I'll ask that question and they'll lift their eyes and look me in the eyeball and raise their hand and walk out the door without Jesus. Close. That concerned man, that scribe, he was very near, the Lord said. This challenged man, this wealthy young man was almost in. I want you to look at Luke chapter number 23. What time is it? Luke chapter number 23. A couple more and I'm done. I hope this is bothering somebody. I really do. I hope it's bothering you. I hope you're sitting there like this concerned man. Huh. How close am I? I hope you're like this challenged man. How serious am I? How serious am I about where I'm going to spend eternity? Do I really want to die and go to hell? Do I have another day? I don't know how old Clarence was. How old was Clarence? 46? Was he that old? 46 years old. Known him all his life. Little did he know when he went to work that morning he wasn't coming home that night. He wasn't sick. He wasn't a drug addict. He wasn't hooked on any kind of substances. He was a good man. He was good to his family. Just got up and went to work. He didn't. If he had known that something was going to explode and people were going to die, including himself, he'd probably called in sick. He didn't know. You say, I know I got to get this thing settled, but I got to work some things out. Know what you need to work out? Your salvation. Bible said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, I got to get this straightened out first. Or this. You ain't going to straighten out nothing without the Lord. Jesus said, without me, ye can do, anybody know the word? Nothing. You ain't going to bust a grape without him. You got to have him if you're going to straighten out the marriage, if you're going to straighten out the relationship, if you're going to straighten out self, you got to get some help.
Amen.
I had to go in the garage. I had to find a piece of wire, something that could get to where I couldn't. Jesus is your piece of wire. He can get to where you can't. That's to the presence of God. That's to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. There was a concerned man. There was a challenged man. Both of them close, but no cigar, as they say. Luke chapter number 23. Look at verse number 39. Jesus is hanging on the cross, suffering, bleeding, dying, bearing my sins and yours. And one of the malefactors, that's the thieves that hang beside the Lord, which were hanged, railed on him, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." We saw a concerned man, a challenged man. I want you to notice this condemned man. This concerned man, he was very near. This challenged man was almost near. But here is this condemned man who had no desire. He didn't want God. He wanted off that cross. I may preach right here. He didn't want God. He didn't want spiritual things. He didn't want holiness. He didn't want righteousness. He wanted out of his predicament. I've had men come to my office and profess to get saved so their wife would come back. You don't get saved for a marriage. You listen to me? You don't get saved because you got cancer. You get saved because you realize you're a sinner and on your way to hell. No other reason. This condemned man had no desire. I'm going to say this as kindly as I know how. I've seen it time and time again. People pretend to come to God because of the predicament they're in. Now, I'm not saying your predicament cannot make you aware of your sinful nature. I'm not saying a circumstance can't make you aware that you need God. I know it can. But God is not a spare tire in the trunk of your car that you don't even know if it's got air in it or not. That you only pull it out when trouble is bad and the water's up to here. You don't get saved to fix a problem. You get saved to fix a sin-sick heart. Are we okay with that? I know people. I got to be careful. I know people who get saved every time they have a big problem. If Jesus had got that guy off that cross, he wouldn't have followed him two steps before he'd have been off on his own direction. I've seen him come to the church for a bailout. Preacher, we're in trouble. We ain't got no heat and our babies are cold. And I'm not making fun. And we help. We take up a love offering and say, hey, we got to get these babies some heat in their house. And we got to help this family. And we help that family and turn around next week. Where'd they go? Where'd they go? Month later? They're back. Well, praise the Lord. It don't on me. The light bill came again. Boy, it's getting quiet in here. It don't on me. The heat's out again. Oh, they've come back for some spiritual help. No, they want more money. They don't want God. I don't mind helping people. We help people today. We help people just about every week. I don't mind doing that. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that is not the way to salvation. They have no concern for the things of God. It's monetary gain and it's monetary need. That's what's wrong with preaching in America. It's all about what we have here. It's all about how you feel now. You're bigger, better you. That's a bunch of junk. Joel Osteen is a liar. and I'm live on the internet and I don't give a rip because I can whip him. It's not about how good you feel. It's not about how much stuff you have. It's not about the car in your driveway. It's not about the neighborhood you live in or the pedigree of your dog. It's not about how much fruits and nuts you eat. I'm serious. That's what these guys preach, man. On the other end, you got that other crowd. Oh, you got to get your deaf ear healed. Somebody out there in TV land, I feel the Spirit of God. Somebody out there in TV land has an inner ear infection. Well, of course they do, you idiot. For a point of contact, touch the screen. Oh, did you feel that power? Yes, it's static electricity. Don't get mad at me. What I'm saying, it's all about the physical and it's all about the present. What good is it if we get physical touched and we get the present fixed, but we're going to spend eternity in hell? This condemned man was of no concern. He didn't care nothing about God. All he wanted was his situation remedied. We got to realize what the real situation is. It's heaven or hell. It's saved or lost. When we get worried about that condition, hey, you're almost in. Acts chapter number 26, and I'm done. Most of you know where I'm going. Acts chapter number 26. Well, you talk about sad. Acts chapter 26, verse number 28. Paul has presented the gospel to a king, King Agrippa. Verse number 27, listen, notice what Paul said to him. Are y'all there? King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? Watch what he said. Watch what he said. I know. Paul said, I know thou believest. I know that thou believest. Paul has presented to him the gospel and he said, do you believe it? I know you do. Brother Freddie, have you ever witnessed to somebody, and I mean they're at the point, I mean they're trembling, they're crying, they're tore all to pieces. You know they're getting it. And then they walk away. Or the wife calls them in the house. Or their phone rings. Something to distract. Man, ain't the devil good? He said, King Agrippa, do you believe? He said, I know you do. I know you do. I'm looking at you this morning saying, do you believe? I know you do. I know you do. Now watch the king's answer. Then Agrippa in verse 28 said unto Paul, say the word with me. Almost thou persuadest me to be what? A Christian. That concerned man was very near. That challenged man, he was almost in. That condemned man, he had no desire. But here is a convicted man who was afraid to enter in. Afraid to enter in. He was a man of status. He was somebody. Paul was a madman preaching this new gospel. Paul got him right here. Agrippa didn't condemn him. He looked at him and said, almost. Almost. Preacher, you got me. You got me right there, but I can't commit. I can't commit. I keep getting these checks in the mail. Maybe some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I keep getting these checks, $5,000, $6,000. Got one the other day for $12,000. And it says on there, all I got to do is put it in the bank. It's mine. Now that's bad when you don't even apply for a loan and they send you a check. And I get to look at that thing, I'm going, $12,000. Brother William said that'd fix my roof. Yeah. Rip that thing up and throw it in the garbage. That's where old Gripper was. Almost thou hast persuaded me. Almost. He was actually considering it, Brother Freddie. He was putting some thought into becoming what Paul was, and that was a child of God. He sat there. Man, he's a king. If he'd have trusted Christ, ain't nobody gonna give him no lip. He'd have their head chopped off. But yet he was afraid to take that step. He was like you. I don't know. I don't. I'm afraid I'm afraid I just can't live it. You're sitting in a sanctuary this morning, full of people who walk in a body of flesh just like you do every day. Majority of the people in this room are saved. Let me tell you something. They can't live it either. Amen. I just don't know if I'm ready. If you're lost, you're ready. If you're considering it, you're ready. Could it be that somebody would sit and hear a message like this and songs like we've sang this morning, I can go in and leave without Jesus? Let me tell you something. If you get saved this morning, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to mess up. I wouldn't embarrass these ladies in our ladies' home for nothing. For nothing. They've committed to getting help. They have that desire. They're in the right place. They've separated themselves from the world. But you know what? One of them could mess up. And you know what? I'm not giving them an excuse, but if they do, we're going to love them. Yeah. Amen. Why? Because I mess up. Yes, sir. And because you mess up. Amen. The Bible said a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. I'm trying to tell you, if you get saved this morning, don't expect you're going to be perfect. I did. I thought that. I'll never forget, I got saved on a Friday night. I'll never forget laying down in bed and putting my head on that pillow and thinking, whoo, I'll never sin again. Anybody else ever think that? I thought, man, I'm going to be perfect here on out. I'm never going to lie. I'm never going to have any more bad thoughts. That lasted about 2 days. I'm lying then. It probably didn't last that long. Can I get a witness? Being saved doesn't make you sinless. We're not a sinless perfection, preacher. One day we will be, but not today. I'm just telling you, if you'll get saved this morning, you just do the best you can. When you mess up, ask God to forgive you. Get up and go on. It was a concerned man, or seeming concerned. There was a challenged man, there was a condemned man, and there was a convicted man. There was another man hanging on the cross on the other side of Jesus. That's the one I want to be. He was a converted man. This guy looked at the Lord, this condemned man, and he said, if you who you're saying, I mean, he had an attitude. He railed on him. I mean, he was fussing at him. If you say you who you say you are, get us down from here. Get us out of this mess we're in. The other man on the other cross said, Lord, he's not saying, if you are Lord. He's saying, Lord, I know who you are. I've been around town a while. I've been seeing what's going on and heard. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Lord, could you remember an old thief? And the Lord said, I tell you what, if we can get you down from here and get you baptized, get you signed up at the Baptist church, we'll get you in. If we can get your name on the church roll somewhere, maybe there's a deacon in the crowd, somebody sign this guy up, send up a pail of water, we got to get this dude wet. Lord, remember me. I'm just a thief. I deserve to be hanging here. I deserve to pay for my sin. But just remember me when you get to your kingdom. When you get there, just pray for me. The Lord said today, shalt thou be with me in paradise.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That guy on the one side, man, he died in his sin, man. This guy was this converted man. Do you know to understand how close these guys were to the Lord? Each one of them had the same opportunity. They probably wasn't much more than arm's length away. Hanging side by side, the precious Lamb of God, one rejected, one accepted. That's what I see as a pastor over and over and over and over. One accepting, one rejecting. One accepting, one rejecting. I'm glad I accepted. I'm glad I didn't just get close. My grandbabies come over to the house yesterday and we just got the cover and all off the pool, got the pool opened up, and man, they were standing there. They wanted in. I said, it's too cold. And Jonah touched it. He said, it's not very cold. I said, yeah, it's 60 degrees, buddy. That don't mean nothing to a 5-year-old. It's very cold. They wanted to get in so bad. Some of you are standing at the edge this morning and you want to get in. You want to give your heart to God. You don't want to die and go to hell. Who does? Who does? Nobody in their right mind says, I want to go to hell. Anybody who says that really doesn't believe in hell. Nobody says, I want to burn forever and ever and ever and ever. Everybody says, I want to go to heaven where you never die again and you never cry and there's never no sickness, no pain, and everything's just hunky-dory forever and ever. That's the option. Yeah, I'll take that one. This close. I'm urging you. Don't just get close. Come in. Brother John, wherever you are, would you come to piano? Brother Charles, get us a song ready. We're going to sing this morning, Just As I Am. Just As I Am. Let's stand our feet together. If you don't mind, let's just bow our heads together. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Here comes that question. Are you saved? If you died today, would heaven be your home? Have you got that eternally settled in your heart? I couldn't even talk you out of it if I tried. You know that for a fact that you're saved. You are a child of God. I know I am. Preacher, raise your hand. Boy, that's just about everybody. I wonder. You can put your hands down. Listen, I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. You say, preacher, I'm close. I'm close, but I'm not in. Preacher, pray for me. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray that I wouldn't just get close and turn and walk away. Maybe you've been close many times, but you're just not in. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you slip up your hand? Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. Anybody, preacher, pray for me. I'm close. I'm just not there yet. I need to get this thing settled. If you can really know where you'll spend eternity when you die, I need to know. Pray for me, preacher. How about it this morning? Just slip up your hand. Go ahead and play, Brother John. Anybody? We're not in that big a hurry this morning. If you're not sure you're saved, you need to get that thing settled. You need to get it settled today. Please don't count on church membership. Please don't count on baptism to get you to heaven. It won't do it. It's only through the blood. Get that thing settled today. Fathers, we come to you this morning in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for a good day. We thank you for our people. Thank you for the good singing and the good spirit. Thank you for this dear missionary family that's with us today. Thank you for their burden. Lord, I pray you help them to make it, Lord, to their desired field, Lord, in Paraguay. Lord, you saw every hand. You know every heart. Lord, my heart is so heavy this morning. Nobody would even raise their hand and admit they were lost. But Lord, there were some who wouldn't raise it and admit that they were saved. Lord, help them to get that thing figured out this morning. Help them to get in this altar and let us take a Bible and show them what the Bible says, not what the Baptist or the Methodist or the Catholic, Lord, but what you said about salvation. Help us, Lord, to help them this morning. God, give them the courage, Lord, to just come on in. Lord, we love you and we thank you. Have your way, Lord, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.